Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, January 2nd, the first Friday of 2026, and we hope that your year has kicked off beautifully so far. We are off for the holidays still, but we have brought you a lineup today of some of the Freaky Friday all-stars, especially the last one, the story that started it all, that brought one of the members of our Sinisterhood menagerie into the fold, and we cannot be more grateful for that and for all of you. Thank you again for all of your support in 2025, and let's make 2026, I mean, the bar is low, but I would say let's make it better than last year. And like we said, we hope you are all, you're kicking the year off exactly as you want to, whether you had a Twilight Zone marathon, some Black Eyed Peas, or whatever your traditions are. We hope you enjoy this lineup of some of our favorite Freaky Fridays past, and we will be back with all new episodes next week. We cannot wait to share with you part two in our coverage of Mike Warnke, the fake Satanist, as well as a fresh lineup of odd but true tales next week. We can't wait to get back with you all. In the meantime, have a wonderful weekend. Happy birthday to our queen, Christy Wallace, everybody, this Sunday. Give her a little birthday love on socials, and we will be back with you next week. Well, today, you don't need any filter between yourselves and these freaky stories that you've lined up for us today.
I tried to find extra creepy ones because it is Freaky Friday. It's the 13th, so I feel like these are really good ones, and one of them that you're reading, I have specifically kept the pictures from you because I want a live reaction.
I'm ready.
So we'll get to that, too.
I'm ready to live react. I'm ready. I'm here for it. I'm freaky. I'm feeling freaky.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Haley, and it is called Who or What the Fuck is Haunting Me? Dear Christy and Heather, I'm not sure how to start this story. And honestly, there's a lot to get through. So let me just get the typical love your show shit out of the way. Love your podcast. It got me through a very scary time in my mental health. And I love having a more lighthearted, spooky show as opposed to typical gruesome true crime. Please tell Petal that I love her. I will. Anyways, this story starts roughly 3 years ago, or at least the main haunting events do. But for some background, we need to begin about 18 years ago. My grandmother passed away when I was 5 years old from some form of cancer. I say some form because no one genuinely knows what happened to her. She was deeply troubled mentally, struggled with hoarding and mood swings, had begun sewing money into her clothes and purses, and hid my grandfather's pistol in the ceiling, which we didn't find until after her death. Her physical health had been rapidly declining before her death, but she never told anyone, even her own husband, the exact results of her tests and doctor's appointments. She passed away quite suddenly, went into the hospital, and died within a week. She left a lot of mysteries behind, and one is still following me. When cleaning out some drawers 15 years later in my grandparents' home, remember her hoarding tendencies, the clean-out was quite an endeavor. My aunt found a little angel figurine with a November banner across its chest. See photo attached. I'm the only person in my family with a November birthday, so my aunt knew that it must have been meant for me. One catch, though. The box said 1997 on it. I was born in 1999, not even conceived in 97. We just assumed maybe the box was mislabeled or she bought it used. But looking back, this was the first sign something was off about this little cherub. I brought the figurine back to my college apartment and put it on my TV stand in my bedroom. Since I don't have many memories of my grandmother, as she passed away when I was so young, it was nice to have something that she bought specifically for me. So there the little angel sat, watching over me from my TV stand. But I soon realized it wasn't just sitting. I noticed that the angel would sometimes be changing position slightly, facing different ways, but never by enough for me to genuinely be convinced that it was moving. Until one day, I went into my bedroom after class, and the creepy little shit was facing completely backwards. I called my boyfriend in a panic. He's a major skeptic, I should note, and asked if he had turned it around to mess with me. I had never told anyone I suspected it was moving before. He told me he'd never seen the little angel. I sent him a picture, and he said he didn't recognize it. He suggested my dog probably moved it somehow and laughed it off. Here's the thing, though. I have a tiny-ass dog, and he absolutely could not have reached it. This happened a couple more times, and thankfully, I have a best friend who is quite spiritual and fully believed me. We grabbed the angel, got in the car, and took off to see the psychics at the crystal shop she frequented. As she drove, I held the figure and quickly became nauseous and lightheaded. The drive was less than 5 minutes. It wasn't car sickness. We brought the thing inside, and immediately, a man came up to us asking what was wrong. Apparently, our energy was noticeably bad. I put the angel in his hand and said, "What the fuck is going on with this?" He held it for a moment, then said he would be right back. My friend and I watched as the figurine was handed off between store workers who spoke in hushed voices. The man came back with a woman, and I was informed that they did not think the angel was possessed, but it had been touched by some sort of playful spirit. They asked me if I lived near any schools or playgrounds. Funny enough, I had an old-ass Catholic elementary school right outside my apartment window. They assured me that nothing harmful was in my home, but suggested I cleanse the apartment and they cleanse the angel itself. But as my friend and I were leaving, the man stopped us to say something, looked at me with great concern, a look that I remember clearly 2 years later, but then just told us, "Bye and good luck." We went home and my friend clearly wanted to help me rid my apartment of ghosts, so we started the cleansing ritual by speaking to the spirit. We let the spirit know that we wanted to talk to them, and we heard a deep sigh. We were the only humans present in the apartment. Awesome! We began going in with sage and Palo Santo, and shit just got weirder. Doors were opening and closing, the flames kept going out as soon as we lit them, and I swear I saw the outline of a child hiding in my bathroom. Finally, we felt the space was clear. The air was lighter, and we had gotten into every crevice with smoke. As soon as we finished closing out the cleansing, my dog started staring out the window that faces the Catholic school and crying. I like to think that he was friends with whatever spirit was there and was watching him leave. After that, things were quiet and normal. The weird nightmares that I had been having stopped, and nothing else was moving without reason, so that was pretty sick. I was faced with what to do with the little angel and couldn't bring myself to get rid of it, so I placed it in an old lunchbox, put it in the top of my closet, and forgot about it. When I moved for graduate school a couple years later, I knew that I would have to deal with the angel. I would have to either get rid of it or take it with me, and I didn't love either option. I didn't get to make that decision, though. It was gone. I went through and packed my entire closet. It wasn't there. The lunchbox was empty. I was both extremely confused and relieved. It had finally gone away. Or so I thought. I moved about a year and a half ago to pursue my doctorate, and the angel notably did not make that move with me. I was moving in with my boyfriend, and we bought all new bedroom furniture with my graduation money and other savings. I filled the drawers from scratch, folded and placed every item in there. But just when the angel was becoming a funny story from my past, the motherfucker showed up in my sock drawer yesterday. As my fun spiritual best friend from earlier pointed out, also on a full moon. Unfortunately, as this occurred yesterday, this is where my story ends for now. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know who or what is attached to it. So I guess I will take my turn to ask, so what do you think?
Haley, write to us and let us know you're still there.
Haley, are you? She sent a picture. It looks like a tiny little precious moments, little cherub with a crown of flowers, little baby, and a little sash that says November, like it could do no harm.
No, however, it's cute. Yeah, it's
clearly possessed by a demon or something.
Its hand in the air is like, I'll steal your soul. And you're like, please don't steal a tiny baby cherub. It's a very cute little cherub. That's so eerie, though, to know, like, okay, that's not something that you're going to be like, maybe I'll, like, take it out and put it around the, like, that is, you want to get rid of it, put it in the lunchbox, put it in the top of your closet, and just be done with it. And then to just discover it's missing when you crack open the lunchbox. Book.
That thing got out in the middle of the night. This is so reminiscent of me and my dolls and how they would move, but I could never really tell if they were moving or if my eyes were just playing tricks on me. These things are all in cahoots.
See, maybe you had a fun little child sprite that wanted to play with your toys, and then as soon as they moved up to the attic, the kids are like, oh, okay, well, the toys are up here now. I guess we'll go play.
I guess I'll live in the attic now. I guess I live in a lunchbox now. Maybe that was too small. It couldn't be contained. It needed bigger spaces.
It needed to be able – wide open spaces. You can tell.
Oh, my gosh.
I like that the boyfriend's first thing's like, well, maybe your dog put its tiny paw up there and spun the cherub around so gently. It's like, thank you for attributing such dexterity to my dog. But it's a chihuahua, and it can't do that.
If it could, you need to take that show on the road. If your dog has the willpower and ability to, like, knowingly just place items so delicately where they need to be.
We have Mitzi and the Moving Cherub. It's a dog that moves a tiny angel. $3 to watch, $5 to film. Come on in.
Oh, well, but for that price, you can't beat it. I think, Haley, I think you got to get to the bottom of this. If it was in your closet, who had access to it? Is your boyfriend trying to blame this on the dog? Full well, knowing that he's doing this. Because a dog can't get to the top of a closet and open a lunchbox. At least mine can't.
No, he's like, maybe they flipped the latch with their tiny paws. You're like, they don't have opposable thumbs. I know it was you the whole time.
How do they even get to the top of the closet?
Ugh, take
They're
that.
Not cats.
They can't. Well, take it to another crystal shop with psychics. Yeah. It's very convenient to have that in town, by the way. But maybe if you have a psychic fair or a medium or somebody to, like, look it over and maybe give you a reading. I don't like that as you left the crystal shop, the guy's like, oh, God. Anyway, have a good day. And you're like, wait, what? Nothing. Anyway. Safe travels. like, are you looking at me?
Yes. I love that it was passed around the employees. Oh, the talking to whispers it. Like, oh, we got another one in. There's another one.
It's November.
It's November. That completes the, now we just need December. And then we have all of them.
That's, we're waiting for December. That's, you're going to find it. I want to know the answer. And I want to know if it's injured you since you've pulled it from your sock drawer. Please,
please
write a follow
in.
Up. Please check in. I'm worried.
We need to know that everything's okay. And, you know, I don't want to say hit this thing with a hammer, but that's always an option.
You can turn anything you want to dust with a simple hammer.
Well, Haley, thank you so much. And please let us know you're okay. Because if we don't hear from you, we're going to assume that your soul is now in this tiny cherub.
The cherub is the one that typed the email to us.
With those tiny little hands, that'd be hard.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This first one is from Kristen, and it is called, Who is Uncle Scott? When I was in my early 20s, I had a good friend who would travel often with her husband for work. Most of the time, they would bring their two young children with them. But every time they went to California for the week, their kids would have to stay home. I would often watch their kids for the week while they were gone in California, and after we had known each other for quite a while, I finally asked why this was the one trip that their children never came with them on. I was told that the kids didn't get to come with them because they were going to visit a friend of theirs, and where he was staying, the kids weren't allowed in. I didn't really dig too much into it because it didn't seem like something they really wanted to talk about. After the third or fourth time that I had watched their two young boys for the week, I decided that I would ask some more questions. I began with asking who it was that they were going to visit. I was met with a very cautious tone, and I really didn't think that they were going to give me any more information. After a few minutes, they decided that they would share the whole story. Several years ago, they used to live in California and told me that a good friend of theirs had been wrongfully accused and put into prison. A lot of his friends didn't speak with him anymore, and they wanted to make sure that he knew he still had people on his side. They would try and get out to California every 4 or 5 months to visit. They would go every day to visit throughout the week, bringing pictures drawn by their boys for Uncle Scott. When I asked what their friend was in prison for, they hesitated before telling me that he had been wrongfully convicted of killing his wife and his unborn son. Several times a year, they would head out to California to visit Scott Peterson. The craziest thing to me was that several years later, when I came out as a lesbian, those friends never talked to me again, and their boys weren't allowed to see me anymore because, quote, I was living a life of sin. But lo and behold, they still write letters to Uncle Scott every month. Don't worry, this didn't wreck my self-confidence. I very firmly believe in myself and my life choices, but this will always be a crazy brush that I had with true crime. Thank you for listening. Keep it creepy. Kristen.
Oh, fuck these people. Dude. I'm sorry, but the fact that you're like, we don't know, by the way, wrongfully convicted, he says.
Yeah, he says. Wrongfully convicted has not been proved, or he wouldn't. I mean, I'm not to say that a lot of people in prison aren't wrongfully convicted and are still there. Is he one of them? The jury said no, but yes. Some of the societal jury is still out on that one. But to go every few months, that's a big undertaking. That's a big commitment. And I mean, shows that they obviously were pretty close with these people.
Had to have been, yeah.
And if you believe that, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But fuck these people for yes. You coming out as a lesbian and yes. Then all of a sudden they get on their moral high ground.
Yes.
Nah.
Absolutely. Nope. Yeah.
Nope.
You're the one that's in there palling around with Scott Peterson.
Getting your little boys to draw pictures for him that he's probably hanging on the wall of his cell. You know what little boy can't draw him a picture? The one Lacey was carrying when he murdered her.
Yeah,
I said it. He murdered her.
You said what you said. I mean, it wasn't until we covered it briefly on True Crime Headlines that so many of our listeners were like, actually, there was this evidence, because I didn't really know much about the case, just that the Los Angeles, not the National Innocence Project, the Los Angeles one was sort of looking into it. But other people said, that's actually already really been looked into. We don't know why they're taking the case. But that's what I don't get, is that that's where you draw the line.
Yeah. That's Fuck your you. Line in the sand.
What? Are you kidding me right now? You can be a bleeding heart and want to love everyone and love your neighbor regardless of what they've been accused of or convicted of. I firmly believe that people that have been convicted of crimes deserve rehabilitation. They deserve love. They deserve respect and dignity and a second chance. And that's how we're going to reform them. But real fucking cognitive dissonance to be like, oh, that what a sinner. The woman who took care of our children
right?
when we were going off on our fucking prison escapades. Nah, fuck you guys and fuck Uncle Scott.
One of them can watch your kids because mm-hmm. they haven't been convicted of a crime. The other one you can't take your kids to see because he's in a maximum security prison for murder.
Go on. Mm-mm. Nah, I don't fuck with people like that. You dodged a bullet. Kristen, glad you don't fuck with them anymore.
Yeah, fuck those guys. And fuck Scott Peterson. I said it, and I don't think that's a hot take.
No, I don't think it's like controversial. No, I don't think it's controversial, but yeah, nah. Mm-mm. When Nancy Grace is like, nah.
I remember watching all of that unfold when it happened and thinking, oh, there's no way this guy didn't do it. And I have not seen, I believe it's Max, that has documentary that's come out in the past few years. And a lot of people were like, it proves his innocence. I think with a lot of those documentaries, if you look into who made this, mm-hmm. then that answers a lot of your questions. And if the family of him is throwing a lot of money behind it, then it's probably going to be a bit biased. So mm-hmm. I did not watch that because things with kids upset me, as we know. Yeah. However, I might have to go and watch that one just because I want to know what they're saying. But I don't think it's going to change my opinion that I do think he did it. Afterward, you can't be fleeing to Mexico with your hair dyed bleach blonde and a sack of money and disguises in the back seat when mm-hmm. you get pulled over and then mm-mm. profess your innocence.
He was going on vacation, Christy. That's how I pack for Mexico.
I go on vacation with fake mustaches and sunglasses. All disguises. And, I mean, I do get my hair colored before I go on vacation, but that's something that I just always do. It's not as like a new look.
Yeah, no, you're not like, do it jet black, cut it off into a bob. And it's like, well, we're not going to recognize you. No, I've not watched that, but you're right. I think, like I said, Nancy McKinney's always like, consider the source. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure his family was heavily involved. But it's fascinating to watch those, just understanding. It's like being in a jury. You're listening to the defense closing argument, the prosecution's closing argument. You get to weigh the balance. You don't necessarily have to believe it just because it's in a documentary. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I might take a watch of that.
Well, thank you so much, Kristen, for sending that in. And your friends suck. Extrins.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This first one is from Jess, and it is called My Dad's Encounter with the Armaducci. My dad is a 72-year-old retired coal miner from Ohio. In his 72 years, he has accumulated some crazy stories, from his UFO sighting when he was a 12-year-old Boy Scout, to waking up during the night in his late teens to find a dark figure standing over his friend that had spent the night with him, only to find out that same friend died in a car wreck 3 days later, to finding a mastodon tusk in the rock quarry he worked in during his early 20s. While driving home from work one night, he saw headlights shining up the road from a vehicle that had wrecked. Behind the wheel was a naked young woman, bound and gagged and murdered as a cover-up. He also missed his high school basketball game on December 15th, 1967, against Point Pleasant High School because their team didn't have enough players, preventing them from traveling across the Silver Bridge the night it collapsed. The story I am sharing today is the story of the Armaducci. My dad spent 36 years working underground in a deep coal mine. In those 36 years, he was trapped once when a flash flood caused severe flooding inside the mine. After 20 hours trapped, he and six of his friends were able to make it out. Unfortunately, he has seen several of his mining brothers lose their lives and was electrocuted once himself. After the 36 years, the mine was shut down. My dad wasn't old enough to retire, so unfortunately had to travel out of state for work. But luckily, 12 years later, he was able to come back to the mine to do the reclamation work of their mine site. All of this work was done above ground. It included operating heavy equipment and treating the ponds in the area. During this time is when he first saw the Armaduchi. To hear my dad describe this creature, it had the body of an armadillo, long legs like a coyote, the head of a small horse, and appeared hairless. I kid you not. We all joked that my dad was seeing things or drunk, but he assured us that several others at the mine had seen it too. This unfortunately was in the early 2000s, so only flip phones with no decent cameras to capture the elusive beast. It would always keep its distance from them, at least 100 yards away, but they saw it several times in the years he worked there. They did have one mine boss that saw it too, and was a bit rattled not being able to identify it. This area is somewhat close to the Ohio River and all of the power plants, as well as the Point Pleasant area and the Mothman sightings. So, there's no telling what this creature could actually be.
Well, I don't like a giant thing with the body of an armadillo because that means it is armored.
Yeah, that's too big to have a shell. That's dinosaur status. We Googled Armaduchi and we can't find anything. So, Jess, if this is an Ohio legend or any Ohio, what do they like to call themselves?
Ohioans.
Ohioans that know of this, let us know, because we can't find a lot of information on this elusive beast. We are very interested, though.
If anybody else, has an Armaduchi incident or has a grandparent that worked in or around the mines or remembers those days, definitely ask them if they've heard of this body of an armadillo, long legs like coyote, head of a horse, and hairless. So it's down in there like, leave me.
So you think how big are you imagining this? I'm imagining it like the size of a medium-sized dog.
Well, I was going to say a large capybara, but yeah, similar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's even worse.
It's too much.
It's too big. It's like something that lives in the labyrinth or something like that.
Or like Nutria. I saw somebody in the swamp.
Those.
Kept it as a pet.
Who did?
Somebody on, it was one of those articles that pop up of like, you won't believe, but this family kept this 20-pound Nutria as a pet.
God damn. I found out about those over a decade ago, and I'm still, it makes my skin crawl to think those are on the same planet as I am.
Yeah, you can't unknow that. Once you know that ROUSs are a real thing, it's a rough, you can't unknow it.
You can't.
You're like,
that's what this is. It's like a Princess Bride. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah.
Yeah, just a big ass nasty thing in the shadows, the depths.
Don't like it. Don't like it one bit. I think we'd also be remiss to not comment on
everything else.
What a life.
Yeah, your dad has lived it. Well, you got to get him that story worth or get just a recorder and just sit it next to him and just ask him to tell you stories about this so you have it forever, because these are awesome stories. And in fact, then transcribe them, send them our way, because I want to hear about UFO sightings. I mean, everything. He sounds like he has he's gone through it.
The mastodon tusk.
Yes.
Yeah, this is fascinating. What a fascinating life. Yeah, document all that for sure. Those are the stories we need to be handing down through generations.
Exactly. You know what? We don't want to let the oral tradition die. So,
and next generation needs to know about the Armaduchi.
Yeah, we can't let the Armaduchi just slink off into the shadows because we're not mining those mines anymore. Yeah, let the Armaduchi story be told.
Well, thank you so much for telling it to us.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
She's so prolific. Well, today's subject line is quite a It's shocking.
This is how you write a subject line. This is how you do a clickbait article that you want everybody to read. This is what you do.
And it's 100% accurate. Yeah. The subject is Eddie Munster was accused of murdering my great uncle. Hi, thanks for taking the time to read my story. I love you guys. I may have missed a lot of smaller details because it's a pretty big story, but here's the gist. In 2006, my great aunt Cindy was married to a man named Ken. They lived on a cute little farm in rural Wisconsin. One night in August, Cindy went to sleep in their camper out back because, quote, it was too hot in the house and she was sick, so she wanted some rest. When Cindy woke the next morning, she found Ken had been shot with a shotgun in their bed. She claimed she hadn't heard anything. Cindy was a suspect right away. First of all, it came out that they used to own a shotgun and that was now missing. They had never reported it to the police. So strange that they had one missing and Ken was also killed with one. There was also a note that read, bitch, stabbed into Cindy's pillow with a knife. This was interesting because the handwriting looked very, very similar to Cindy's. Cindy's in-laws didn't like her very much, including her stepchildren. Cindy wouldn't let Ken's family see his remains or give him a funeral after his death. She was also set to gain almost $1 million from Ken's tragedy, including insurance policies that she signed his name on, and the property itself. Fast forward to December of 2019. Cindy was the first, and so far the only one to my knowledge, to be arrested for the killing of Ken. That's 13 years after Ken's death. This is when Eddie Munster, well, the actor that played him, Butch Patrick Lilly, was called to the stand to testify. I don't exactly understand all of the details because it's messy, but I'll do my best. Essentially, Butch, Ken, and a few other men had part ownership of the Munster Hall Raceway, a local racetrack. Cindy claimed there was illegal activity going on and that there was money missing. She claimed that Butch and the other men were responsible for killing Ken. Butch testified he had absolutely nothing to do with it. The jury came to the conclusion that Cindy was guilty of first-degree intentional homicide. The trial was 2 weeks long. She was sentenced to life in prison without parole at 67 years old. I also emailed a local news article about it and a few pictures. Thanks again. Keep it creepy. What? And I looked it up and that was on Law and Crime. And mm-hmm. I mean, it was reported on because the defense was essentially, I did not do it. Eddie Munster and these three other men that worked with Ken in this ownership, it was a 5-person ownership of the racetrack, but a 4-person conspiracy like against Ken.
I hope that they refused to use his actual name and bless only called him Eddie Munster throughout the whole trial.
He's like a grown-up adult now, and I feel bad that I'm also Butch
State
Patrick.
Calls
like,
Eddie Munster to the stand.
Yeah, he's like, it's Butch Patrick, but thanks. But yeah, I mean, it made headlines because you can't go accusing.
No.
I mean, you can't just accuse anybody, but much less somebody that has, presumably a lot to lose, right? I mean, that's your legacy as an actor and a celebrity, and nobody wants to be accused of murder.
No.
Also.
I don't know if he went on to do other things, or was he one of those child actors that was kind of his gig? And I mean, the Munsters were on for a while, so he probably had a pretty lucrative child acting career at the very least.
Well, I think that maybe afterwards too, he did a lot. I mean, he did other shows. He did when he grew up, he was in a lot of stuff throughout the 60s and 70s. And then from like the 70s through the 2000s, he really wasn't in a bunch. This is according to his Wikipedia page. I'm not some Butch Patrick stan. Although
you love Butch Patrick Lilly. You never stop talking about him. You like make Paris dress up as Eddie Munster all the time. Please stop acting like you're not obsessed with Eddie Munster.
I'm obsessed with Eddie Munster. I will say I did love the Munsters a lot.
I did too. I loved the Munsters.
Such a good show. But no, so he's been in some stuff. He was in the Munsters movie, the 2022 reboot, which I've not watched because I watched a YouTube breakdown that apparently it wasn't very good. But for Butch Patrick's sake, I'm glad he was able to come. It sucks that he would have to come out and testify, but I'm glad he was able to testify after not only losing his friend, but also being wrongfully accused of that, and it was never like he was not arrested or under wrongfully accused is
that's just her defense attorney.
She tried to throw him under the bus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which seemed like a pretty weak argument. Oh, no. I'm just going to go sleep in the camper tonight. It just happens to be on the same night my husband gets shot and somebody stabs my pillow with a knife.
Yeah.
Where's the gun we used to own? I don't know.
Who's to say? Yeah. It did not add up.
It didn't add up.
It is strange that there was such a gap between the incident and when she was arrested, you know, 13 years later, but it may just be that it sounds pretty cut and dry, but as Anonymous said, there were some details, so it could be that, you know, some things were, evidence was missing or unavailable or something until much later, but I'm glad eventually she saw prison for that because it's just egregious to do that for kill for gain like that. It's so heartless.
67 years old, prison without parole, that's not a fun way to spend your twilight years.
Yeah, it's not a good place to retire to.
Deserved. Yeah, oh, you well get deserved. To retire to the local prison.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Anonymous, for sending that in. And
yes, thank you,
that's
Heather's
a case.
Daughter.
Yes, my daughter. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, darling. I love you. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, this last one is from Jen, and the subject line is clowns! Exclamation mark.
I'm going to mute myself for this so my screams don't interrupt
Thank
anything.
You. All right. I recently discovered you all and have been going back and listening to earlier episodes. I'm now listening to Sam the Sandown Clown, and I'm on the intro when you all are talking about Christy's hate of clowns and various clown pranks, and I knew I had to write in. I have long been frightened of clowns. Started with the viewing of Poltergeist at around 4 years old, still persists now, 40 years later. In the late 90s, when I went off to college, I went with a handful of good friends from high school, including my roommate slash best friend and her boyfriend, who was also on campus with us. My roomie and I quickly fell into roles, and one of mine was that only I remembered our mailbox code, so I got the mail every time we had any. One day, I fetched the mail and had a letter addressed to me, no return address. It looked a little beat up, but I opened it and nearly fell down the stairs. It was a single sheet with a creepy clown on it and some kind of writing. My 26 years older brain remembers serial killer magazine cutouts, but it could have just been messy scrawl and said something like, "Hi, Jennifer. I can't wait to see you. Love, Boxo the Clown," or something equally troubling. My new friends weren't aware of my clown fear, but we were at a school that had dozens of my fellow high school graduates, so I assumed the mystery could be easily solved. I called a friend from home, shrieking that I was going to kill him, but he genuinely didn't know what I was talking about. I asked my roommate and her boyfriend, and they were equally confused, but also very amused, both at the concept and my horror. I continued to get Boxo letters. They got creepier. Some were even burned on the edges just to give that Pennywise touch. I think the final one was of a clown with red eyes, photoshopped to be eating a lobster. At the time, my favorite animal, saying, "XOXO, Boxo." Of course, the edges of the letter and the envelope were burned and dirty, like they came straight from hell. I can't fully describe how these letters made me feel. I was horrified, because clowns. I was unsettled that the person knew me fairly well, and also that after asking everyone I knew and getting denials all around, someone was lying to me. I was also a little impressed because, like I said, it was the 90s. We still had computer labs in the dorms. Someone made a lot of effort for these letters. After a few weeks, the letters stopped. I guess I forgot about them. My roommate and her boyfriend broke up and then got back together. One day, they finally confessed to me that it had been them all along. I lost my mind. I think I cried, probably more in relief than anything, that there wasn't someone I didn't really know who knew my fears and knew where I lived. We're all still friends. Boxo is just a memory now. But that bastard really messed with me back then. I think I still have one of those letters somewhere. I'll see if I can dig it up and send it in. Thanks for keeping me entertained. Love you, gals. The feeling of opening your fucking mailbox. Ooh, baby.
The clown voice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a request from Christy. Could you please do clown voice?
It was better than I expected.
I only wish that you hadn't muted yourself while you were dying laughing at me doing it. But,
oh, man. I feel your pain, Jen. I went through something similar. Also in college.
That's right.
I started receiving newsletters, newsletters addressed to me. And then like clown figurines would appear on like the door to my dorm room and stuff. I eventually found out it was some friends of mine. But when I opened that and I was like, what? And it was just like 10 pages stapled together. I'm sure I have it somewhere. Mm-hmm. I will look in a little bit because I think I might know where it will be. And if I have it, I will. We can post it on our Patreon and our social.
Yeah, we'll post it.
Yeah. I'm glad that you were nice enough to forgive them because I don't know if I asked them and they lied to me. I don't know that I'd like that.
I know, right? It's one thing to be like, okay, you guys, I've been getting these clown letters at you and being like, all right, yeah, you got us. It was us. We weren't going to tell you unless you asked, but since you asked, we'll tell you the truth. But to ask and be like, no, it wasn't us. It must have been an evil clown that wants to kill you. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, great. I'm fucking terrified.
Boxo. That's like such a name, too. That is a good clown name, though.
It's creepy. To me, it sounded like something off of... Are You Afraid of the Dark or like Goosebumps? Mm-hmm. Like yeah. That. Either of those seems like, oh, it's Boxo. If you get a letter in the mailbox from Boxo the Clown and you open it, that means you're Boxo's next target and you have to send the letter to someone else. Something like that. But in this case, it's just your friends being fucking assholes in college. It's so mean. Watch if she'll cry. If we put another clown in there, she'll cry. It's don't put the clown in there.
Oh, it doesn't end in college. Tommy then later decided to continue to prank me it was a long con for years about the Lakewood clown and how there was a house of crazed clowns that all lived near us. And this particular house in the front yard had, I don't think they do anymore, a light fixture
with the bulb.
Four different like globe bulbs on it, but it was like red, green, yellow, blue. And so it was very clown-like and creepy, and it was out of place. And he would always drive by and be like, oh gosh, do you feel that? The car won't drive. Oh, no! What's going on? Oh,
stop!
Yeah. And he'd like pull over in front and be like, I don't know. The car just stopped. Oh no, we're near the Lakewood clown. And then he changed my screensaver once when I wasn't at home to just say greetings from the Lakewood clown. And then later that night, it came on when I was by myself and I was like, what the fuck?
And you're like, anyway, we're married now. We have two kids. We're really happy.
So, I guess I too forgave. So, you know, good for you, Jen.
You
forgived
and you forgave. Well, yeah, Jen, good for you for escaping Boxo. For any of our very talented listeners, if anyone wants to draw Boxo for Fan Art Friday, I would be terrified. I would love to see a horrifying Boxo drawing. Or if Jen can find one of the letters, just like Chrissy, if you can find your clown newsletter.
I'll look.
Deeply interested in any of that.
The favorite part for me is that it was Photoshopped eating a lobster, which in and of itself, thinking of an image of a demonic clown eating a lobster, hysterical. Also, that a lobster was Jen's favorite animal at the time, which implies it is no longer, and maybe because Boxo ruined it for her.
Yeah, Boxo ate it. Jen, let us know what your current favorite animal is and why. I'm interested in that too. See, I just love a follow-up.
Never knew someone that lobster was their favorite animal, but I'd like to hear why too.
I know people that love Friends that they love lobsters because, like, oh, you're my lobster.
Oh, that's
from, like,
true.
Friends. So that, I can see that being a reference, but maybe you just she just thought lobsters were cute.
They are cute. Yeah. They cute. Also taste real good.
Yeah, they do. Sorry. Sorry, lobster. Me and Boxo have something in common. We love to eat lobster.
Yeah.
Call me a monster. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And this last one is from Shelby. And I'm not sure if you'll be able to hear him, but fireworks have begun in my neighborhood because it's spitting distance of a national holiday.
Man.
Where you could blow anything up. But I think...
Are you sure it's fireworks? Because I like to play the fun game of fireworks or gunshots. Who knows?
Around here, celebratory something. Hopefully it's celebratory. Regardless, I like to think it's fireworks given this next topic. I feel like this needs, deserves fanfare.
This is why they started.
They knew it was time for the subject line, does corn skull qualify as a cryptid? Hello, you lovely ladies. First off, thank you for sharing the beauty that is Sinisterhood with the world. Christy and Heather, I love the attention that y'all bring to the lesser known cases that are often overlooked in the true crime world and your enthusiasm for kooky cryptids. Also, as a Northern Louisiana native, it brings me great joy to hear your Southern accents all over the speakers in my car and makes me feel right at home. I recently graduated from college with a degree in history, and I'm about to go to grad school, which is a really long way to say that I have a special appreciation for the level of research that you guys put into each episode. Now, on to the freakiest of Friday stories. Ladies, let me tell you the tale of the corn skull. Yep. You read that correctly, the corn skull. By now, you're probably asking yourself, what is a corn skull? So please, let me describe it to you. The main character of this tale is Cornelius, a decorative skull made in the likeness of corn, not a cob of corn composed of skulls. Picture is attached, please share. The next logical question to ask is not, why the corn skull? Because that much is obvious. Why not the corn skull? No, the next question is, how did you get a corn skull? Followed by, what does this have to do with Freaky Friday? These are great questions, so please, let me tell you. It all began when my best friend, henceforth referred to as BFF, and I took a road trip to the Van Gogh Immersive Experience in New Orleans. Side note, it was super cool. 10 out of 10, recommend. On this road trip, we stopped at a gas station in South Central-ish Louisiana. I ran in to get a cup of ice, and when I was paying at the register, I looked to my left to see some interesting home decor. Most of it was wacky, morbid, and overall pretty cool, but one piece stood out against the rest. Amongst the gothic skeleton snow globes and ghoulish ashtrays was a ceramic figurine that looked like a normal skull at the bottom and a cob of corn at the top. This, my friends, is the corn skull. Naturally, I asked the cashier about it because how can you see a corn skull and not ask of its origins? She didn't know too much, only that a vendor brings in, quote, all that strange stuff once every couple of weeks, and that there is a guy who comes in and buys them to decorate his house with. Now I'm wondering if he uses all skull-themed decor or just vegetable skull-themed decor, but I digress. Also, apparently he worships them, at least that's what the cashier said. Now I'm wondering if he worships all corn-related things or just vegetable-related skulls. Oh well, you guys can ponder that if you want. When I got back in the car, I made BFF go inside and see the corn skull. She took a picture of it and we briefly considered buying it, but we ultimately decided not to. Though we had driven off without it, I do believe that the influence of the corn skull stayed with us. The next morning, after we'd attended the Van Gogh experience, we decided to do what every stereotypical New Orleans visitor does and walk down Bourbon Street. We had to park a few streets over, and on our walk to Bourbon, my mother,
a super cool ER nurse who is not scared of much of anything, by the way, ended up tripping over some cracked pavement. She's fine, you can laugh, I did, but I asked her if she was okay first. Y'all, when she tripped, I swear she fell for 10 whole minutes. She stumbled, then regained her balance, then lost her balance, then regained it again, then lost it again, and then finally, slowly, fell to the ground. Most impressively, she didn't even spill the Dr. Pepper she was holding. It's important to note that it was 11 a.m. and she was sober during this whole ordeal, which made it significantly funnier when she got up and announced that stupid corn skull had cursed us or something. It was at this moment that I decided I needed to go back and buy the stupid corn skull because, of course, the Gothic Farmer's Market themed table decor couldn't be the cause of bad luck. That's almost as ridiculous as making a skull in the shape of corn in the first place. Oh, how wrong I was. Anyway, we stopped at the same gas station on the way home to purchase the corn skull. It was $18, if you were curious. We named him Cornelius B. Cobb, and he quickly became a well-loved member of our friend group. But this is not where the story ends. After we left the gas station, when we were about an hour and a half from home, the curse of the corn, potential band name, reared its ugly head. It was a little after midnight when BFF and I noticed a car near us acting strange on the long and desolate stretch of highway that we were driving. The car would get right beside us, stay there for a few minutes, and then speed ahead of us for a good distance, and then get in front of me and slam on its brakes. After that, it would slow down and fall back behind us. They did this 5 or 6 times before finally getting right behind us and flashing their headlights at us as if they wanted us to pull over. It wasn't like they wanted to pass us because they'd already passed us multiple times, so I do think they were trying to make us pull over. Ladies, if an obsession with true crime and having a police officer for a father has taught me anything, it's that you do not pull over at midnight on a highway in the middle of the woods with little to no phone service. All my lights were working, all my doors were closed, everything in my car seemed to be in working order, so I told BFF that we were not pulling over because we were 20 miles from civilization in both directions and that I was not getting snatched tonight because the headline would say, 2 college girls murdered, corn skull found in car, and nobody would be focused on the first part of that headline. Thankfully, we made it home safely, and I found out later that apparently it's a thing to get cars of women to pull over so you can rob and murder them. How delightful, said with full sarcasm. The city we were closest to does not have a great reputation and actually is one of the most dangerous cities in Louisiana, so I know I made the right call by not pulling over. Throughout my college career, I drove that particular stretch of highway twice a week for 3 years. Sometimes during broad daylight and sometimes near the witching hour. But nothing like this had ever happened before or since. So what made that particular night different from the others? I've thought about it a lot, and there's really only one difference between that night and any other time I was on that stretch of road. The corn skull. Cornelius was buckled up in the back seat because click it or ticket, you know? Do I actually know that this macabre maze decoration was the cause of our creepy encounter? Not at all, but it does make for a good story. And who knows, maybe the corn skull actually kept us safe from murder or kidnapping. Anyway, Cornelius is now an iconic part of our lives and is very useful for getting creeps and annoying guys to stop texting you. Because seriously, what do you even say when someone responds to your lame, you up text with a picture of a corn skull? Cornelius B. Cobb now lives on a shelf at one of my friend's houses because my mother won't allow him to cross the threshold of ours since she's still petty that he somehow made her fall in New Orleans. So to conclude this Freaky Friday tale, Cornelius the Corn Skull may have made my mother fall in the streets of New Orleans and may have almost gotten my best friend and me killed, but he has also given me a great Freaky Friday story to send in. So I think the cost-benefit works out. Feel free to share pictures of Cornelius with the world because honestly, you just gotta see it. Also, does a corn skull qualify as a cryptid? Please share your thoughts. Anyway, thank y'all for doing what you do and making my life a lot better with your witty banter and the wonderful way you share stories.
Oh, yeah. Please head to our Instagram to see photos of Cornelius B. Cobb. I'm including all three shots that Shelby sent us because, honestly, especially the one where he looks like he's maybe on a dashboard of a car. You should have just rolled the window down and waved that out the driver's window and that car would have driven away. He looks gnarly as fuck.
No, he does. So disturbing. I love that someone decided this needed to exist.
I want to touch this.
This was the art that spoke to them. They're like, I must make this.
I want to touch it so bad.
And I also want to see the guy's home, or do I, that buys these and then worships them.
Yeah, you got to look behind Cornelius B. Cobb, and there's a Snapchat-like photo that Shelby shared with us, and there's like a checkerboard skull behind the corn cob skull. I'm like, I'm sure that guy's house is full of that.
A lot of chalices with dragons and skulls and shit. I will say, Texas gas stations, it must be a southern thing, because when we travel a lot, we do stop in at gas stations because they do have some good stuff. There's a skull right behind Heather right now that has a pirate's hat on that we've got. I've got one over here with a Viking helmet.
Those are
skulls at gas stations.
This one is from Italy, Texas, and we got it on the way to Austin for just for last Moon Tower. And the Viking one we got on our very first tour between Tacoma and Portland. It was like our first leg of the tour, so that was in Oregon, Washington, Pacific Northwest Viking skull.
And then he was on tour with us the rest of the time. We put him on our table.
Man, I got to meet Cornelius B. Cobb. Like I said, I just want to touch the corn part. It looks like it'd be nice to run your fingers over.
I got to do a little with my nails or something. I want to feel it. I want to feel
it. Exactly.
It's like a Starbucks cup. You just got to like run your fingers down it.
I just need to feel the material. Well, Shelby, you're right, though, about both of y'all are right about the southern gas stations where it's like, I need a cup of ice, a gallon of gas, and a new piece of art for my living room.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like Scarface and
Scarface,
airbrush.
But also like actual historical. It's like John Wilkes Booth and Scarface are in the same painting somehow. It's wild.
You're like, who decided this? They're like, they're both criminals. And you're like, technically, I guess.
Ella has, had to shield her on the way to the bathroom several times at gas stations because the art is just all over the place. Lots of clown stuff.
Yeah.
Demonic clowns.
Everybody is like, well, you got to stop at Bucky's in Texas. And it's like, oh, it's because Bucky's is great. And it's like, no, it's because there's no demon clowns. It's all just a beaver.
Everybody can just walk around and let their guard down because you're not going to turn the corner and like, wah, at any second.
But you're going to miss out on a gem like Cornelius B. Cobb. I think he was watching over y'all. I honestly think he was. I think your mom tripped not because Cornelius cursed her. I think you were cursed because you didn't have the luck of him.
Oh.
And then you later had the luck of him.
Because it made
$18.
Them go back and buy him. Because
exactly.
Her,
he was
her
like,
mom tripped.
He was like, you need me later tonight. I'm going to protect you. So,
and
I don't think he almost got
y'all killed. I think he was protecting you in... You knew, like, don't pull over.
No.
The corn knew. Look to
the corn. And if that, I'm telling you, if that car would have gotten closer, you could have unhooked him and just waved him in the air and they would have been like, oh,
what the hell?
Then it's like local bandits crashed on the side of the road claiming corn man ran them off the road. That's the myth we want to start.
I'm telling you, sometimes I think if people were to come at me in a way like that, if you just start like yelling spells or hexes stuff, I feel like somebody might leave you alone.
Right, exactly. Just try to make them more nervous than they make you nervous. And they're like, whoa, I didn't expect that. You're like, no, you did not. You never expect a Viking skull.
You don't expect Cornelius B. Cobb ever. It's the beauty of him.
Stand down. Obey him. Obey the Cobb. Praise the Cobb. Praise Cobb. Praise Cobb.
Praise Cobb. There you go. The Church of the Subterranean Vegetable.
That's right. The sub vegetable. They do grow in their stalks and they come right out. Well, Shelby, thank you. I cannot thank you enough for sharing the existence of Cornelius B. Cobb with us.
I thought you'd like that.
So fantastic. It's so my shit.
It's great.
It's so good. I'm only desperately jealous that I don't have one and I'm going to immediately
go
on eBay and
be like,
I feel like
we're going to meet one of our own.
That's true. I should enforce it.
We'll let it happen. We're going
to
manifest
it. Come to
it.
Us.
Well, thank you to everyone that sent in your stories so much. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. And if you like our free episodes, like the one you just heard, you will love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free, like we said, to see what we're up to next, or you can dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials where you can join at any of the tiers for a week, check out all the perks, and then cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. If you stick around, you should do an annual membership because you get 1 month free. Gifting an annual membership is also an awesome gift for somebody. It's the gift that keeps on giving because all year round, they get so many things that you get when you join Patreon.
You'll get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content. We let you vote on the content that you want to see. You get weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts. Those come in super handy this time of year. And a community of the best listeners on the whole internet also comes in very handy this time of year.
Yeah, especially this time of year. Also, if you have that merch discount, head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much to everyone who's left kind reviews. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, your Freaky Friday stories, submit your videos for Sunday Scaries, and you'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists.
Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood, and follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you want a video just for you, and it's a unique personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you want to treat yourself to a little pep talk this holiday season, book a cameo now. We love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. You don't have to leave the house. You support us when you do it. And every cameo is unique. Sometimes people you're like shopping for going, do they already have this? I can't ask. And the thing about a cameo is even if they've gotten one before, everyone is always unique because we base it on what you tell us. So go to cameo.com/sinisterhood and give the gift. It's going to hopefully make them cry, laugh, squeal, who knows when they get it. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy and Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the World Wide Web at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
You're up, we're up, it's the perfect match. Now it's on you to make the right decision while you're scrolling in bed. Go big or go home at 7-Eleven with their boneless wings tossed in hot honey sauce with a spot-on sweet and spicy combo. It's available at 7-Eleven and just $5 with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26 while supplies last. Participating stores, see app for full terms.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.